me once again say how honored I am to be back at the Riverside Missionary Baptist Church and to stand amongst you to do our very best to preach the holy gospel. If you want, go to Judges, the seventh chapter, and we'll read a little bit there, beginning at the first verse. And while you're looking for that, Judges 7 and 1, I would like to say that we are so appreciative of the church. We're so appreciative of your pastor, Brother Victor, and I know you miss him this morning, and looking forward to him being back, and surely we'll be praying for him while he's gone. But we appreciate him entrusting us enough to believe that we would do nothing besides to preach to you the Word of God. And so therefore it makes it a great honor to be here. But most of all, it's a joy to be in the presence of God.
Amen.
I said it's a joy to be in the presence of God. Sometimes we forget to be joyful. Sometimes we got so many things going on and without a doubt worrying about the weather and worrying about family and worrying about this and that. And we forget to be joyful. We got something to be glad about today.
That's right.
And so thank God that we're here and thank God that we can walk with him and talk with him and just be in his presence above and beyond all. Judges, the seventh chapter, starting in the very first verse. Jeroboam, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Hari. So that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into thy hands. Let Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hands have saved me. There's a statement right there. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Thank you for the reading of God's word. You may be seated. We today want to look at a message, if God will allow us to preach it to you for just a few minutes. God's plan.
Amen.
See, God has plans for each and every one of our lives. And sometimes we don't realize that God's plan might not particularly be our plan. See, when we make our plans in life, why we like to really plan things out for ourselves. We like to be in control of those plans. And we like most of the time, of course, just as Gideon did here, and that's what I want to talk about for a minute, how that we want to make sure that we stack the odds in our favor for all of our plans. We like to make plans. And we even sometimes like to make plans for other people. And that don't usually work out. We had great plans for each one of our children, deciding what they're going to do, what they're going to be when they grow up. Has anybody ever been there? Huh? Oh, let's be honest. All of you as parents have wanted to make plans for your children, and you've had your mind made up what they're going to be and what they're going to do. Has it ever worked out? Well, I know. See, because they have made up their mind, they're going to make their own plans. But sometimes we forget that we need to allow God to work in our lives first and foremost, above all, for the plan that he has for our lives. And so therefore, you see, my plans for my children may have not been God's plans. So it didn't work out the way I wanted it, but it was still God's plan. So as we look at this scripture, think that God's plan may not be the best for us sometimes. But I got news for you. It is. I'm reminded. Think about this for a minute. I'm reminded of David in the Bible. David was just happy being a shepherd boy. I'm sure that his plan was just to be the best shepherd for his daddy and watch over the flocks and take care of them and be the best he could. That was his plan. But God had another plan. See, and let me say this. Every time that we think about it, God's plan may not be exactly what we want, and it may not be actually the easiest plan in life. It would have been a lot easier if David had just been a shepherd boy. Then he wouldn't have had to be refused by the people. He wouldn't have had to be persecuted by the people. He wouldn't have had to hide out in caves and be sought after by King Saul. A lot of things that God had in plan for him, maybe at that point of his life, he was wondering, where, God, and why, God, are you wanting me to do these things? I've been there. Maybe you have too. Why, God, is this really what you want for me? Oh, we forget to realize that God has a plan. And it will work out. I thought of old Goliath, how the Goliath, his plans were to go out there and kill David. I mean, he was going to kill David and put his carcass out there and body out there and let the animals eat it. But I got news for you. God had a different plan.
Amen.
God gave David a little stone and that took care of everything there. I remember that not only that, but I remember Job. He was a happy man just being a father and a husband and being worshiping God every day. He was very happy in the state he was in, but God had another plan. Oh, Paul, think about him. He was very happy being a religious man. He was very happy going to the synagogue. He was very happy going out and persecuting the church. He was happy with that. But God said, Paul, I got another plan. And it wasn't the easiest. Wasn't, Paul, you're going to be put in prison. You're going to be stoned. Everything in the world is going to happen to you. Well, why, God, do you want to give? Do I need to give this up to be able to follow your plan? It's because God had a plan. My friend, and right there was the plan. If it had not have been for that plan, you and I would not have been here today. Brother, if it had not have been for the plan that God had, Paul would have never set up the seven churches in Asia. If it had not have been for God's plan, Paul would have not have wrote the scripture. Brother, and we would have been here today. But enough with that. Let's just go a little further down. Go back to Gideon and think of all the things that Gideon did. See, God's plan may not always be the easiest plan in life. And I thought of it this way. It might not even be the most popular plan. It's not a popular plan to be a Christian. In society today, brother, we're not the most popular people there are. People will criticize us. It's just like when I'm going to throw this in. Our pastor's daughter went to college, and the first week she was there, she was invited to four different parties, and she refused to go, so they started calling her the little church girl. That made her see she wasn't so popular because, see, being a church girl is not popular. Being a church goer is not popular. Being a Christian is not popular. But I'm going to tell you that is God's plan of salvation and our way to heaven today. And without that, we will never make heaven today. Now, that's really not all of the message, but here, let's look at Gideon for just a few minutes. Now, old Gideon, God had told him that Israel was going to be delivered by his hand. Israel had got themselves in trouble. Brother, and God said, I'm going to deliver them by your hand, Gideon. And so Gideon, he said, all right, I'm going to put a lot of this in my kind of terms and my kind of words so that you'll make sure you understand what's going on. So Gideon thought, well, if God's going to do this, why, that's all right. That's a good thing. I'll go out here. And he went out and he got him 32,000 men. I mean, he got him a big army. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it my way. That's pretty much what he was saying. But I got news for you. God had another plan. He said, oh, Gideon, why, if I allow you to go out over there against that army with 32,000 men, you and all the rest of them will start bragging. You'll get your head all swelled up. You'll begin to tell everybody, why, look what I done. That's what he was saying. You'll vaunt yourselves and say, we did this on our own. Brother, and God said, that's not my plan. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it my way. If you're going to get blessed today and follow my plan, you're going to do it my way. So he said, Gideon, you take those men out and you talk to them and you speak to them and you tell them every who is fearful and afraid just to go on back. And listen to what happened now. There's 22,000 of them walked out, brother, and walked away. Brother, I'm glad. But there was still a few that did not walk away from God's plan. Brother, I'm glad to tell you, if you want God's plan to work in your life, it may be just you and God, but it will work. God's got a plan, and if you want his plan to work, you will do it God's way. Gideon, I'm sure he's saying, well, what in the world? I've got a picture in this now, maybe what Gideon was thinking in his mind. Because I look and think of what Art McFarlane would have been thinking. I'd have been thinking, Lord, what in the world? How in the world do you expect us to go out there against that great army that's already bigger than mine anyway? But now you've took 22,000 of mine way away from me. 22,000, and all I've got left is 10,000. It just cannot happen. That goes along with the lesson this morning. Brother, we may have faith to believe, but brother, sometimes our belief will get weak. Brother, and then we'll start crying out to the Lord, and we need to say, Lord, help our unbelief today. And so Gideon, I thought, well, it'll be all right. God said, now, Gideon, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to take them down there by the water's edge. And there at the water's edge, why, those that lap like a dog and then those that lap are taking, cup their hands up, while we're going to separate them again. And when it was all said and done, brother, he walked out of there with 300 men. What in the world, God, am I going to do with 300 men against an army that is bigger than 32,000. There's just no way. Have you ever got to where you doubt where God is going to be able to do something in your life? Whether he's going to be able to do something in your children's life? Where he's going to be able to save your children? Where he's going to be able to bring your child out of drugs or alcohol? Have you ever come to the point in your life you think, well, God, I believe, but in some way I just kind of doubt it's ever going to happen. I got news for you. Just wait on God. I said, wait on God. He's got a plan for you. Oh, now, so let's watch now what happened. If we want God's plan to work in our lives, it's going to have to be exactly like it happened with old Gideon. Now, Gideon, he said, what you're going to do, and you're going to follow it to the T. And if you don't, it'll never happen. But see, old Gideon had forgot something. He had forgot that back there in chapter 6 of that same chapter, or that same book, when God said, Gideon, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to allow it to happen. And I'm going to allow you to be the man, and it's going to come through you. And Gideon said, all right, Lord, if this is going to happen, why, you give me an answer. I want to take out here tonight, I'm going to lay a little fleece down. That's a piece of cloth. I'm going to lay her down on the ground. And when I wake up in the morning, Lord, if. Oh boy, we always want to put an if to God, don't we? If you do this, God, I'll follow you. If you do this, God, I'll get saved. If you do this, God, I'll go to church. If you do this, God, I'll change my way. Gideon said, God, if you'll allow that little old piece of cloth or fleece in the morning to be soaking wet and the ground around it be dry as a bone, then I'll know. Brother, let me tell you what, you don't need to put no big ifs in there. Just believe and have faith and follow the will of God today. Ooh, you understand what the message is about today? We always want to put our ways in there. We want to put a little thing that we want to do it at. And so he got up that morning, and guess what? Oh, lo and behold, bless his heart, that little old piece of cloth, he was able to wring water out of it. But the ground around it was as dry, as the desert. But yet he had an ear. Now wait, God, be patient with me just a little while. That's what he was saying. Oh, be patient, God. I just got another few little things I need to do. Just another few little things I got to prove. Just a little few things I got to straighten up. And then, God, but tonight, Lord, I'm going to put her back out there. And if that piece of cloth or fleece is dry and the ground around it is soaked with dew, then God, brother, we got too many then gods in our lives. We need to take that little then out of it and say, God, I believe you and I trust you and I believe your plan is going to work today, God. And so he got up the next morning, and guess what? That little piece of cloth, it was as dry. It was as dry as the dish rag when I have to do dishes, because I don't do them. Brother, let me tell you, it was dry, but the ground around it was soaking wet with dew. And so he had forgot that God had already allowed him to do it two times. He had forgot that God had given him the answers two times. But yet he was wondering, what God am I going to do with this situation? How am I going to do it with 300 men? How am I going to do it, God? I can't handle this, God. You're going to have to do something about it, Lord. Well, that's exactly what we needed to do in the beginning. Let us know today, the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's today. It is the Lord's. If you got children need to say it, be saved. Just have the faith to believe it's going to happen. Just believe. All things are possible if we believe. And believe and leave it in the hands of God. And so God said, all right. Now, Gideon, what you're going to do, you're going to take those 300 men. Don't seem like much to you, but it's God. I'm going to tell you, you take them out there and you put 300 of them. You take 100 of them and you put them on one side. You take another 100 of them and you put them on that side. And Gideon, you take the other 100 and you put them on the back side. And brother, there through the night, I want you to all of a sudden, right in the dark of the night, when everything looks the darkest in your life, that's when God is about to work. Brother, didn't you ever hear the story? There's always a rainbow right after the storm. Brother, the sun's coming up in the morning. Brother, all sorts of phases. Right in the dark of the night when it looked the worst, there was over 32,000 men out there. I've got 300 of them, but God is in control. Brother, he said, you take them and you put them out there. Now watch this. You want your life to work. You want God's plan in your children's lives to work. You want things to happen in your life. Be obedient and do it just like God says. He said, get in now. You've got them out there, and you put a trumpet in their left hand. And you put a little clay pot in their right hand. And you put a little lamp of oil in the side of that clay pot where it can't be seen. And then listen to me. Brother, when it seems like it's the darkest hour of the night, all of a sudden you start shouting. You start blowing the trumpet. You blow her loud and you blow her strong. And then listen to me. When you blow the trumpet, start shouting the victory. You start shouting the victory. You shout with everything in you. All 300 of you, you shout the sword of the Lord. The sword of the Lord. You know that's all you need to be victorious in every plan of your life is the sword of the Lord. And then that's not all he said to do. He said to take the little clay pot and you break it and you let that light shine. God. I mean, you talk about making the devil run. They begin to blow those trumpets, 300 on all around them in the mountainsides, and they started shouting the victory and calling out as loud as they can, the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Lord. Oh, those men were afraid of the sword of the Lord. And all of a sudden, they broke those pictures, and that light began to shine all over. It looked like there was 45,000 people on that mountainside with the sounds of trumpets and the sounds of a 300-man army shouting for the Lord. Brother, in lights shining everywhere. And I'm going to tell you what the devil did. The devil got up and ran out of that place. You want to run the devil off? You start blowing your trumpet, and you start sounding off for the Lord's victory, and you let your light shine, and the victory is God's, and He'll bring it to you today. They didn't need armors. They didn't need anything besides the sword of the Lord. Now we'll close with this so you'll know what you need for your life to make everything work. The sword of the Lord is this. See, He said, take the trumpet. The trumpet is the sounding of the gospel. Brother, if you want things to work in your life, you need the gospel. Above and everything, you need the gospel. And then He said, you take the little clay pot, and then you break that pot. Who is that? That's Jesus. You remember where He said when He was eating with the disciples, and He broke the bread and said, take and eat, for this is My body. He broke that bread. Brother, the body of Jesus Christ had to be broken so that we could have victory. I said, listen, do you hear that? His body was broken so that Art McFarland could have victory and be saved and go to heaven. And then He said, take the light. The light, brother, is the light of the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ. So if you've got the gospel, which is the sword of the Lord, everything is going to be all right. Oh, do you understand what I've been trying to preach to you? I don't know what kind of situation you may be in. I don't know what kind of a problem you may have. And I don't know what kind of issues. And I really love it and didn't really know that the Sunday school was going to get into this when that young man, he had the faith to believe that God could do things. And he went to Jesus about his little son that, and we'll use the word convulsions, the thing that he had. And Jesus said to him, just believe, because all things are possible if you believe. Well, let me tell you what. I don't know what kind of a condition you may be in. You may be being right where that Gideon was. You may have tried to stack things in your corner. You may have tried to work and do all sorts of things. Brother, but it still hasn't worked. It won't work. It won't work as long as you're doing it your way. Gideon could have went out there with 32,000 and it would not have worked. He could have went out there 10,000 and it would not have worked. But when he went out there with God on his side, I said, or did you hear what I said? I said, when he went out there with God on his side, Brother, God fought the battle. And guess what? They won. I'm going to say, when God fights my battles, I am a winner. Brother, I may die tomorrow. Brother, I may live another 100 years, but either way, I am a winner because I've got the sword of the Lord and I've got God fighting the battles for me. So whatever your issues are today, I don't care what they are, you put them in God's hand. You put them in God's hand. I want Brother Bellamy to come and sing. I want them to come and sing one verse of a song. While we're singing this song, I want to give you this invitation. Have you tried things your way and it just didn't seem to work? Have you put a lot of God ifs in there? Or then I will, Lords, in there? And you said, God, tomorrow? See, He said, tomorrow I'll get up and I'll look at the fleece. I just got my doubts today. But if you'll do this for me, God, it'll work. I'll believe in you. God didn't have to do that, but He did for Gideon. My goodness, I want you to understand that God does not have to prove to you anything.
That's right.
God already proved His love.
Amen. That's right.
God already proved how much He loves you. God already proved how much He loves your children. If you'd have just come when we called for you, if you'd have just come and been here when we wanted you to be, our brother would not have died. I got news for you. He wasn't 4 days late. He was right on time. When we wanted our way, it might not be God's time. But I'm here to tell you, you keep trusting in God.
Amen.
He'll come down the road right on time.
Amen.
Right on time. When Gideon needed him the most, guess what he did? He showed up.
That's right.
When I need him the most, what does he do? He shows up.
Amen.
Stand at our feet and sing a verse of a song. If you need something from God today, maybe you just need to come to this altar. Leave my love for Jesus and never pray about it. You need to pray and say, Lord, I've tried this my way. Now I'm going to do it your way. Lord, I'm going to lay it all in your hands today. Tried our very best today to proclaim your word and so show them through Gideon's life and through the experience of Gideon how that so many times, God, we ourselves want to be in control. And by ourselves and through ourselves, we want to take charge and we forget to allow you to let your will be done and let your plan work. And Lord, again, I don't know the situation of anybody's life here today or what they may be going through. As has often been said by our pastor, I don't know what they're going through. But I do know this, God, that whatever it is, when we figure it all out and realize that we can't do it ourselves, we have to depend on you. And then we can just lay it all into your hands.
That's right.
And I pray that you'll do that for the folks here today. If there's someone lost, help them to put their lives into your hands. If there's someone out of fellowship and strayed way, way too far away from you, let them put their lives back in your hands.
Yes.
If there's someone that's got problems, burdens, and cares that they can't handle, let them put it in your hands. And God, you'll give the victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We love you with all of our heart. And thank you for allowing us to be here today. We'll be back tonight if the weather permits. I don't know. It was pretty snowy.